All right, so here are our choices. Do we sin against the Father, Jesus, the Christ, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, or some, all of the above? All right. So normally in Scripture, when it talks about sin, it's referencing really just God, the Trinity, all of the above kind of thing. So are there, or I shouldn't say are there, because there are. So what are the three ways that our actions are directly against the Holy Spirit?
How we act.
All right, specifically from Scripture, there's three things in Scripture that state that we can specifically disturb. I don't know if that's the correct word or not, but we can affect the Holy Spirit. One is grieve. All right, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can quench the Holy Spirit. And what would the third one be? Hopefully none of you have done this because you're here this morning. But there's a blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, or we can blaspheme the Holy Spirit. So go to Ephesians 4. All right, those are the three: grieve, quench, and blaspheme. So we go over to Ephesians 4. And we can actually start, just so we get the pericope here, we can start in verse 25. Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus, and he says, "Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger." And that's not just for couples that are married. That's for all of us and anyone that you are interacting with. And give no, although it is a really great thing for husbands and wives to follow, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So, who was Paul's target audience here? I kind of mentioned it just a minute ago, but we'll refresh your memories.
Believers.
All right, believers. In what kind of assembly?
Church.
Right, they were in a church. All right, so these are church-going people, right? So that would be very similar to all of us. You know, these weren't the ones that weren't coming to church, weren't attending. And how do we know that? How do we know these were people that were actually attending the church and the gathering?
It says, "For we are members of one another."
Yeah. All right. All right, again, put yourself in the mindset of way back when the letter was written to the church at Ephesus. Who's going to hear it?
The church and people in the church.
Right, only the people that are there. You know, they don't have copy machines. They don't have email and text. You know, they're not like shooting out to everybody that, you know, is on the attendance roll or the regular attender list like we do. And, you know, everybody just gets this blanket email or text. All right, if you weren't in the service, if you didn't show up for the gathering, guess what? You didn't hear the letter. You know, you missed it. Yep.
The first verse says to the saints who are faithful
and trusting. Yeah. Yes, all the way. Yeah, if we go back to the beginning of the letter, you know, to who are faithful in Christ Jesus. So these faithful believers that are attending the gathering, are they perfect?
No.
Are they still having issues? Yes. All right, so that should give us hope, shouldn't it? You know, that even 2,000 years ago, you know, they were still struggling. They weren't perfect. You know, Paul's specifically writing to them, and he says, put away these falsehoods. You know, put away the things that you used to be. You know, and you're on this path of maturing and growing, and you need to really put emphasis in that. You know, what would we say, and it might be a little different because obviously we have things that the church at Ephesus didn't have, but what are ways that we can grow and mature and be growing closer to the Lord, other than just showing up for church like they did in Ephesus? All right, yes, we can be studying our Bibles. You know, they didn't have that. They had parts of it and very limited pieces of Scripture. But we don't have that excuse anymore.
And they would have to share a parchment.
Right, and they were, you know, they were passing little parchments around and probably read the same, you know, six verses or same one parchment piece, you know, over and over again. So they practically had that part memorized and they pass it on and on. You know, but, you know, most of us have multiple Bibles. We have electronic versions. We have, you know, commentaries galore. You know, we have more commentaries and more things than we could ever imagine to look at and read. And yet, we still struggle in growing. And we struggle learning and getting to where we need to be. So we just really need to put more emphasis on that in our own lives. So Paul lists a whole bunch of negative things. And then right in the middle of the negatives, he says what? Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You know, so obviously this command or this admonishment is right in the middle of all of these things that they ought not to be doing, because all those things that they should not be doing grieve the Holy Spirit. And they need to be very aware of what it is that grieves the Holy Spirit, what it is that pleases Him. And then in the last verse, how many of you memorized verse 32 as a child growing up? Just three of us? Wow, four of us? Yeah, that was my mom. I think my mom's two favorite verses growing up was from Numbers.
You sure you're simplifying?
Yes. 31:21, 30, yeah, whatever. It's like the reference is flipped. But yes, be sure your sin will find you out, and then be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ forgave you, and King James. So, yeah, we learned that one and had that one quoted to us many, 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 many times. What's that? Yes. Yeah, that was after me.
Which one is
it? Numbers, I think it's 21.
Okay.
It's just flipped, yeah. I'll find it for you in a minute, but it's Numbers. But yeah, anyway. So, you know, this idea is that we're not to walk as the Gentiles, and the word Gentiles there is the unsaved. You know, we are to put on the new man. We are to be acting different. 32:23, Millie. Yes, Numbers 32:23. Yes. Be sure your sin will find you out. Yeah.
Great verse for kids.
I know that's why I'm kidding.
It is for adults as well. You know, when you're thinking about trying to do something, and then you realize, okay, this is gonna come back to haunt me. True, yes. We already went there, right? Yes. No, yes. No, 4:13. Yes, all right. We read 25 down through. All right, so, you know, kind of got ahead of myself there. So we grieve the Holy Spirit when we disobey God's commandments and when we choose to act in unrighteous ways. And it's this idea, I think all of us at this point in our lives, we know what we should do 90% of the time. And yet we often choose not to do what we know we ought to do more than the 10%. You know, that we're just not really sure where to go with it. And that's one of those things that we've just need to be aware of. We need to be very cognizant of and be asking the Holy Spirit to guide us and to be a bigger part of our life so that we can make better choices and decisions throughout the day. You know, Pastor talked about that again this morning. Those of you that were in the 8:30 service, and I'm sure he'll mention it in the 10:45. Just this idea that, you know, the Holy Spirit ought to be our best friend. That, you know, we wake up in the morning thinking about Him. We go to bed at night thinking about Him. And then all throughout the day, it's just, you know, that this conversation or this reliance upon the Holy Spirit back and forth. You know, so the Ephesians, just like we, know that it was not godly to lie and to steal and be angry with each other and say hurtful things to each other and all of that. They knew those were not positive things, that they should not be doing those things. You know, Paul says, don't give any opportunity to the devil. You know, so they understood that those were opportunities for Satan to get a toehold, Satan to get into their lives and to begin creating something there that would potentially could destroy them. So Paul goes on and, we'll cover this one. What are things that we struggle with that grieve the Holy Spirit in the 21st century? Okay, unforgiveness. What?
Selfishness.
Bitterness.
Death.
Covetousness. Kathy?
Death.
Death, okay. Just the anger of why someone died or...
Sickness, too.
Okay. The sickness. You know, some of them are the same as, you know, what he talked about with the Ephesians. You know, many still struggle with anger.
Greed.
And greed, you know, hopefully none of us are stealing. Any longer. Well, you know, prior to salvation, maybe, but, you know, hopefully not anymore. You know, we still struggle sometimes with corrupting talk, the evil speaking. Right. You know, some of those things are the same. And, you know, the bitterness somebody mentioned, the wrath and the anger, the slander. You know, and that's why we have to have this idea of being kind. You know, not allow these things to get a hold of our lives and take over our lives, but to have kindness and this the tender-heartedness. Who was it that, there's a book, Tender Warrior, is that... Anybody read that? Have you heard of it, Amanda? Has anybody read that, Tender Warrior? I want to say the I don't know. Figured Debbie could Google it real quick. But anyway, it's a good book for men to have that balance of being tender and yet still being manly. You know, not coming across as, you know, a jerk. Stu Weber. Okay. I was thinking Stuart, but Stu Weber. You know, just having that balance of, you know, a tender heart, but still being, you know, having people look at you as a man. You know, not giving up your manhood or your manliness in order to be tender-hearted or to be compassionate. You can do both. In that. And so that's really important that we do that. How long did Paul spend in Ephesus when he started their church? Anybody know? Approximately? One year, 2 years, 3 years. I'll give you three choices. Close.
Two and a half.
It was 2 years. About 2 years. He was there about 2 years to start the church there and stay there. And he did have a great impact on the church, didn't he? And yet Paul is still now having to write them and remind them of things that they ought not to be doing. All right, because they aren't perfect. So they needed a strong reminder, just as we often do. You know, sometimes you wonder, you know, why is Pastor preaching about that again? Or why is that coming up again? Usually it's because we need those reminders. You know, we need to be reminded of things continually, the repetition of that. And so that we don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And that's Paul's emphasis here, is just to remind them, don't live your life in such a way that it brings honor and glory to God. You know, live your life in such a way that the Holy Spirit is pleased with, you know, what you say and what you do, or your manner of conversation, your lifestyle manner. And, you know, don't engage in behavior that's going to break God's heart or grieve the Holy Spirit. And by grieving the Holy Spirit, does that affect Christ and God as well? Yes. Okay, so yes, we are grieving the Holy Spirit, but that carries over, spills over into grieving or disappointing the Godhead as well. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the time together this morning to look into your word, a little bit about how we grieve the Holy Spirit, and help us as we look a little bit more next week at that, and then how we can quench the Holy Spirit as well. And guide our thoughts on this week. In your name, amen.